Hello, everyone. Bill, are you with me?
Hey, sis. Hello, hello.
Hi, Mitch. Not glad to have you here.
Hi, Miss Vicky.
I would like to ask, can you, Mitch, can you three-way a call?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me give you a number.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, that won't work because your phone makes too much noise.
Okay, Annette should be getting on too, yeah.
Yeah, you get off. Are you there, Annette? Yes. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute out this.
Okay, let me give you a phone number for you to three-way this person in, okay?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get up. Okay. All right.
94 4 6 9 1
okay,
wait a minute, 8 9 4 4 6 what 9 1 4 6 9 1
okay.
So I gotta do the 904.
I don't know
how your phone works, but probably. All right, thank you.
All right. Who am I talking to?
Phil. He doesn't have his phone. He's got a work phone that won't get on a conference line.
Okay, let's see if I can figure out how to do this.
While you do that, let me welcome everybody to the message and remind those people who have dialed in as a podcast to know that this is a live teleconference meeting. So there are people dialing in from all across the country. We're going to begin in about 3 minutes or so to give them a chance to get here. And anytime you'd like to join Freedom's Way on the teleconferences, we hold them every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code 373-363-pound, or you can go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information. So I'm hoping we can get Pastor Phil on the line tonight. My phone would not do it for whatever reason. So I have asked one of our listeners to dial him in if that's possible. If not, I will do this meeting. Hallelujah. Word will be the same.
Hi.
So, hi, who is it?
Carrie. Nice to hear your voice.
Carrie. Nice to have you.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you, thank you. We are now coast to coast with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, Vicky. It's
Dawn. I forgot what time.
Oops, sorry.
Well, thank you for being here, Helen. God bless you.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Oh, it's
Me
good.
Too.
Woohoo. All right.
Yeah. Where are we in the study realm?
We are understanding and moving in the anointing of God.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
if you want to if you want to text me tomorrow, anyone who wants to catch up, text 904-993-2876 and ask for the playbacks for the Anointing series, and I will send them to you by text, and you can call at your convenience and listen to each part.
God bless you. Thank you for that.
So, did Annette get back on? Phil, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Woohoo!
I'm home.
Okay.
If I take
all
no
right. So, what I am going to do is I am going to mute your phone. So, Annette, you will need to unmute, I think. You will need to unmute your phone so that it will unmute your line.
Okay.
And then you can just use the mute button on your phone. I don't think it will mute Phil out. This is a new thing for us, so we're trying it, and hopefully it will work. So everyone just hold on for a moment. I'm going to mute your phones. Praise the Lord. So, do I have Pastor Phil? If you can hear me and I can't hear you, try unmuting your phone. And Annette, go ahead and unmute your phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yay. Okay.
Yeah, I had to hit star six.
Okay, good. All right. So if everybody else will mute with star six, that would be good. Don't unmute your phone if it says you're now unmuted. Then mute it back again. Thank you so much.
We need a lot of cooperation tonight.
I know. Isn't God good?
Am
technology
I clear?
Is amazing. Yes, you are clear. And technology is amazing, and I don't know how to catch up with it. But I am going to ask Pastor Phil to pray us into this meeting and to introduce us. And then I will get us started.
Okay. Well, we are Freedom's Way Ministries, and my name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. And we are, tonight, we are ministering on understanding and moving in the anointing of God. Our mission is to help everyone come into their true identity in Christ so they can be effective in the kingdom with all the benefits and the power that is available to us. So that is our mission. We help you in any way we can. These teachings do just that. So I'm going to pray us in and we'll get started.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Excuse me. Father, we thank you for your anointing on this word tonight. We know it is your word, and we believe, God, that it is going to touch the hearts of your people and help them grow to be more like you and to operate in the power that you have passed to us through your anointing. So, we thank you for this word, and we turn aside any assignment from hell that would try to deflate this message or deflect it. And we turn that aside and we say, Satan, get your hands off this message. And we just thank you, Lord, that your anointing's on it and your people will be blessed to hear it. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I also would like to ask you, Phil, in the event that I disappear, please, because I am in the woods here, if you would just continue on, I will dial back in and catch up with you.
Okay.
So
you disappear.
Hallelujah. I know. It's all technology,
well,
right?
A lot of things happening in the spirit tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So as Phil just said, we're talking about ways that the anointing is released. This is actually part 6 in our series of understanding and moving in the anointing of God. Ways that the anointing is released. We've already talked about through the spoken word, and we talked about imparting anointing through touch. Last week, I briefly mentioned receiving an impartation for deliverance ministry, and I said I would give that testimony. Many of you have heard it, but it's worth repeating, so I'm going to give that testimony now, because testimony is a do-it-again, Lord, for someone else, and I believe that if everyone in the body of Christ would begin to banish evil spirits into the pit, then we could clean up this world pretty quickly so that Jesus can come back. In my opinion, and I believe there's plenty of scripture to back this up, Jesus is not coming back to do something he called us to do. You know, we're all waiting for Jesus to come back and clean things up while he's restrained in heaven until we clean things up so he can come back. Hallelujah. So here's the testimony. Many years ago, the church that we were attending had a guest speaker coming in. Her name is Bree Keaton, and she is an amazing and powerful woman. At the time, I had never heard of her, but when we got to church, God spoke to me and told me to give her my necklace. Now, I was wearing a really special piece. It was a beautiful 18-carat amethyst that had been set as a pendant for me, and I thought maybe I'd heard God wrong, but nope, I was sure it was God. So I walked up to her, I took off the pendant, and I explained that God wanted me to give it to her. She looked in my eyes, and it felt as if she was actually looking into me. And she let me put the necklace around her neck, and it was absolutely perfect. She was wearing a lavender sweater, she wasn't wearing any jewelry. It was just perfect. So after the service, she asked if we were coming back for the evening meeting, and of course we were. So that night when we walked in, she walked over to me and she said, "Be sure to stay after the service. I have something for you." So after everyone left except the pastors and us, then Bree motioned for us to come up. She took the necklace off and she said, "God told me to wear this all day and then give it back to you." She put it around my neck, and the weight of it almost took me to the floor. It was that heavy. Her anointing for deliverance was imparted to me through that piece of jewelry. And she then spoke a blessing over me and released me into the ministry that God had for me. That was an absolutely glorious, powerful, amazing moment. It was an amazing impartation. And I will never forget it. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. So you can't tell me that objects don't carry anointing.
Amen.
Amen.
Great testimony. The point is that anointing can be released through material objects as well as through the spoken word and with touch. We read and hear about cursed objects, but no one seems to say very much about the blessed ones. Earlier in this study, we read the scriptures about Paul and the handkerchief. So let's read it again in Acts 19, verses 11 through 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. How does the anointing of God get into an object in the first place? So, to answer that, we can look at how cursed objects carry curses. One way is through their use in ungodly service. Religious rituals, for example, especially of false religions common in other cultures. Another way is through the spoken word. Satanists can assign demons to objects to carry out an assignment from Satan. People can pray over objects and impart evil through their prayers. Witches can cast spells over objects.
So true, so true. A lot of times, you know, you can seek the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, if you have something in your home that is a cursed object. Many of us have traveled around the world in various different places with different religions. We've been on mission trips. We've been on vacations and picked up little souvenirs. Check that out. Check it out with the Lord. If ungodly service is a way to transfer a curse to an object, then godly service is a way to transfer a blessing. Now, notice in the scripture that Phil just read, it says, from his body were taken. So Paul carried the handkerchiefs and the aprons on his person as he went about flowing in the anointing of God in godly service to our Lord. Bree wore that necklace in godly service to the Lord in a very powerful meeting that morning, and the anointing that she had went right into that object. You know, I have no doubt whatsoever that many of the personal items of my late husband that I sent to various individuals across the country, those objects carry an anointing. They're blessed because they were used by him. They were worn by him. They were touched by him. The harmonicas touched anointed lips. The rings encircled anointed fingers. The quilts and the afghans and the pillowcases and the pocketbooks and the rods and the reels and all sorts of other things that he made were created with anointed hands. There is no way that those things could not carry a blessing, because he was a blessing. There is an anointing in those objects because the person who had them had an anointing going on inside him, and it's still around. Like Elisha's bones. You know, they threw the dead man in, he touched Elisha's bones, and the man revived and came alive and stood up on his feet. But like Elisha's bones, the anointing we carry will linger and continue to flow into people's lives. I sometimes feel like Elisha must have felt when Elijah's mantle fell on him. I know I am personally, spiritually stronger than I was before. The anointing is greater than it was before. I believe I have a double portion by the grace of God, and to his glory alone. And now with Phil in my life, that anointing is continually growing stronger, because Phil added a dimension to this ministry that is nothing less than phenomenal. And I thank you for that, honey. You know, you've heard it said, and many have even said it yourself. This person or that person has it going on. And as I said, my late husband had an anointing going on inside him. So does Phil. And so do I. And the thing I want you to see tonight is so do you. Every one of us has an anointing going on inside of us. That means it's happening. It's moving around. It's active. It's seeking an outlet to express itself. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. In 1 John 2, verse 20, says the following, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. In verse 20, the word unction means smearing, which we have previously identified as the anointing. And verse 27 makes it clear when it says we receive the anointing and it lives, it abides in us. There has to be an inlet for the anointing, and there must be an outlet. The anointing inside us is not stagnant or paralyzed. It is always in a state of action or a state of anticipation. It is doing or it is waiting to do. Most of us leave our anointing in a perpetual state of waiting because we ourselves are waiting for the wrong thing. Rather than waiting to hear the voice and the instruction of God, we wait on someone else's anointing, like a big name evangelist to come to town, or a healing service at church, or the revival down the street to start up. Or maybe in our religiosity, we just wait on the physical return of Jesus to take care of things for us. Many people believe that that's going to happen, or that's what we should be waiting to do, is Jesus going to come back and clean it all up. But the anointing is a happening thing, and it's going on in us, either in a state of action or a state of anticipation.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, what you just said about we're all sitting around waiting for Jesus, that really, in many ways, is where the church is. And I've used this analogy before. It's like having a kid and saying, hey, Johnny, clean your room and I'll take you to Disney World. And he gets all excited and goes out and sits in the car. You know, the church has gone out and sitting in the car, but what's wrong with the picture? We didn't clean the room. So, in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit of God, there's the anointing of God, moved upon the face of the waters. Another translation says the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Some people think waiting is doing nothing, that waiting is simply a passive thing. But here and in other places, we see this thing we like to call an active waiting. The Holy Spirit moved, it hovered, it brooded over the waters. Other words used in the translation are flutter and shake. So waiting does not mean do nothing or remain perfectly still, The anointing inside us is active. It's waiting, but it's active. We've got it going on in us. And then God said, and the Spirit went into full-scale action. The anointing of God was fully activated by the Word of God to perform the Word of God. I think I will say that again. The anointing of God is fully activated by the Word of God to perform the Word of God. So the moment God said, the anointing went from a position of active waiting to a position of active doing. Hallelujah.
Amen. The Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand to accomplish the will of God. Spirit. Hallelujah.
I said that was worth repeating too.
Okay, I will. The Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand to accomplish the will of God. If you have all Word without Spirit, says the Spirit can kill. And Spirit without Word. All right, let's try it again. Thank you. Word without Spirit can kill. Let's say it the right way. And Spirit without Word can take us in a wrong direction because it may not be the Spirit of God we hear. The Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand to accomplish the will of God. So if it's not happening, we want to find out why not. Part of the problem could be in the waiting. We're told to wait on the Lord, and that's not a bad thing unless we're waiting for him to do something he's already told us to do. So it's possible that the anointing is not being released from inside us because we don't understand how to wait, and we're waiting for something or someone else, specifically Jesus Christ, to move the anointing from its position of waiting into its position of doing. But the anointing inside you is not waiting for God, it's waiting for you.
Woo.
Smith Wigglesworth once said, if the Spirit doesn't move, I'll move the Spirit. And that may sound arrogant to you, but if it does, check your religious spirit meter, because he was declaring his spiritual authority. Wigglesworth knew the Word of God, and he knew the Spirit of God, and he knew the anointing he carried within himself.
That's right. That's right. And when he made that statement, he was really saying, I'm going to put a demand on heaven. I will draw from the anointing of God inside me to accomplish the will of God according to his word. I will bring heaven to earth in this situation right now. God, thy kingdom come. You know what Jesus told us to pray? Come now. How is it coming? Lift up your heads, O you gates, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. He comes into you to come out of you, to flow through you, to bring heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come. So, Smith Wigglesworth, many of you have read about him, heard about him. His faith kicked into action when he said those words, and the anointing was activated from its position of waiting to its position of doing. Faith is faith when the heart believes and the mouth confesses. We can confess the right words all day long, but without belief behind them, they likely won't accomplish very much. Now, we've already talked about releasing the anointing through the spoken word. So now let's look at the heart belief that is a part of that release in the anointing.
We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. Wherefore the Lord said, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Matthew 15:8-9 says, "This people draws near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You can't use a tool that you don't believe you have. And you won't even look for it because you don't believe you have one. Hallelujah. We have to know with a certainty that we are anointed. That belief must be deeply planted in our hearts. Most of us don't really believe we have an anointing from the Holy One, so it's pretty much impossible to release it. We've already looked at 1 John 2:27. But I want to go there again, and if you have your Bibles, you need to go there too. I want you to see it and read it out loud so you can hear it over and over again. And 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, there is no lie. And even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him." The anointing abides in you. It lives, it dwells, it makes its home in you. We received an anointing from God, and it remains in us. The anointing didn't move out. It didn't find another apartment, and it didn't leave town. Hallelujah. So think of electricity. Think of electricity, because the lights aren't turned on doesn't mean there's no electricity in the lines. The electricity's still there, just waiting to surge into its function. Someone has to flip the switch, push the button, pull the cord, whatever. It has to be activated, and that is the same concept in the anointing. It has to be activated. And I'm waiting for a time when the anointing is so active in me, I don't even have to think about it anymore. I want to be so sure of it and so settled in who I am as a mature son of God that the anointing simply oozes out of me. And I believe that that day is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I believe that too. And I just want to go back to what you just said about you. You can't use a tool you don't believe you have, and you won't even look for it because you don't believe you have one. And I bet you that there are many people like Phil and I, this is a little confession here, where, you know, you look where you normally would keep your Band-Aids, for example, right? And you don't see any. So the next time you go to the store, you buy Band-Aids. When we moved, the number of Band-Aids and the number of light bulbs that we have will last us two lifetimes. It's amazing because we didn't think we had any, so we got more, right? Well, if you don't think you have a tool, you're not going to look for it. You're not going to use it. And that's what happens with the anointing. But to get back to what we're saying here, it really doesn't seem to matter much what we teach on, because we always come back to the message of identity, our true identity. Releasing the anointing that God put within each one of us has a lot to do with our recognizing who we are. Not who we've been defined to be by the world or by our parents or by our lovers or by our friends or our families, bosses, co-workers. Not who we've been defined to be by the lies of hell and every demonic influence that has invaded our thoughts from childhood until this very day. The devil loves to take us back into the past. Well, see, this happened to you and that happened to you. So that must be who you are. No, don't listen to those lies. If we're going to reach the point where the anointing inside of us is so active that it is imparted through our very presence, then we have to know who we are. And we will only know who we are when we know who He is. Christians are very fond of saying, "Oh, I love the Lord." But my question is, and has been, how can you love someone you don't know? And how can you know someone that you don't spend time with? In order to realize the depth of God's love and the depth of His character, we have to spend more time with Him, in His Word, in praise to Him, in prayer, really listening, not just talking about ourselves and our problems, but asking the Father, how do you feel? Ask the Father how He feels, what He thinks in every situation and circumstance that comes up in your life. You know, God can read your thoughts. You don't have to go around muttering to Him. He knows what you're saying. So you can have this conversation with Him in your mind to find out His mind. According to Psalm 119, verse 109, says this: "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget your law." My soul is in my hand. That means each one of us has control.
Now, well, we said that we are the captains of our soul.
Of our soul.
And our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, and our desires. The Word tells us we have the mind of Christ, but in order to use the mind He's given us, the mind of Christ, then we have to know how He thinks. And when we have a thought that's negative, our responsibility is to take that thought to the Father and find out if He thinks the same way. Father, I'm thinking I can never do anything right, Father. Is that true? An example.
That's
the
good.
Same thing is true with our emotions. We are in control. God gave us emotions, but He didn't give us emotions to be controlled by them. He gave us emotions so that we could feel the way He feels about people and situations. When a destructive emotion, anger, depression, despair, hopelessness, loneliness, and so forth, rise up, we should immediately take that to the Lord. I'm feeling depressed about this, Father. How do you feel about this? Your will is what you allow in your life and what you don't. If someone knocks on the door of your house, you're the one who decides whether or not to let them in. We should match our will to the will of the Father, yielding what might seem reasonable to us to His will, His word, and His way. As for desires, we must give up what we desire for what the Lord desires for us. And when we do, we'll find the result is much greater and more satisfying than the meager thing we thought we wanted.
Wow.
As we absorb the truth of this verse in Psalm 119, and we begin to practice this conversion process of the soul, anointing will also begin to be released more easily and effectively in our lives and in our ministries. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow. Yes, it's time to pray. You know, I was just thinking about this practical way to die to ourselves. Just simply take it to the Father. Get the truth in your heart so that the lies of hell can be dispelled. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's pray together. If you want to do that, if you want to be more active in releasing the anointing of God from within you, then let's pray together this prayer. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for this word, and thank you that the anointing dwells in me.
Thank you for this word, and thank you that the anointing dwells in me.
Actively waiting to be released.
Actively waiting to be released.
Thank you, Lord, that the objects I use in service to you.
Thank you, Lord, that the objects I use in service to you,
the clothes I wear, and the people I touch, are touched by your anointing. Help me to understand what active waiting looks like.
Help me to understand what active waiting looks like.
And help me practice hearing your voice.
And help me practice hearing your voice.
So that I know when to move the anointing.
So that I know when to move the anointing.
From actively waiting to actively doing.
From actively waiting to actively doing.
I need your timing, Lord.
I need your timing, Lord.
As well as your word and your spirit.
As well as your word and your spirit.
To accomplish your will, your purposes.
To accomplish your will, your purposes.
Forgive me, Father.
Forgive me, Father.
For times I've been passive in the waiting process.
For times I've been passive in the waiting process.
Expecting you or others to do what I was meant to do.
Expecting you or others to do what I was supposed to do.
Give me the courage to agree with you.
Give me the courage to agree with you.
And to move boldly in releasing your anointing.
And to move boldly in releasing your anointing.
just as Smith, Wigglesworth, and others have demonstrated.
Just that Smith, Wigglesworth, and others have demonstrated.
Help me to fully understand.
Help me to fully understand.
Your anointing in me.
It's your anointing in me.
Is a major part of my true identity.
It's a major part of my true identity.
Give me a deeper hunger.
Give me a deeper hunger.
And a greater thirst for more of you.
And a greater thirst for more of you.
So that I take all my thoughts and emotions to you.
So that I take all my thoughts and emotions to you.
And make sure I'm in alignment with you.
Make sure I'm in alignment with you.
Show me every day, Lord.
Show me every day, Lord.
How to give up my way of thinking.
How to give up my way of thinking.
And adopt the mind of Christ that I've been given.
And adopt the mind of Christ I've been given.
Show me how to line up my emotions with yours.
Show me how to line up my emotions with yours.
How to feel the same way you feel.
How to feel the same way you feel.
About people and situations.
About people and situations.
Show me how to give up my will for your will, Father.
Show me how to give up my will for your will, Father.
Just as Jesus did.
Just as Jesus did.
Show me how to yield my desires.
Show me how to yield my desires.
To what you desire for me to have.
What you desire for me to have.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
And I give my life to you once again.
And I give my life to you once again.
Have your way in me.
Have your way in me.
Work through me, Father.
Work through me, Father.
To release your anointing.
Release your anointing.
And bring heaven into the earth.
And bring heaven into the earth.
I am beginning to see.
I'm beginning to see.
That the times of refreshing and restoration of all things.
That the times of refreshing and restoration of all things.
The times which will usher in the return.
The times will usher in the return.
Of our victorious King, Jesus Christ.
Our victorious King, Jesus Christ.
Those times are at hand.
Those times are at hand.
They are at my hand.
They are at my hand.
Allow my hands to become the extension of your hands.
Allow my hand to become the extension of your hand.
Father God.
Father God.
Because of your anointing.
Because of your anointing.
Which flows through me.
Which flows through me.
I ask these things in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ.
I ask these things in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. have one more message in this series. I can't wait. It's very exciting wrap up to what we've learned next week. But if you missed anything about tonight, or if you want to, you probably don't think you missed anything, but if you listen on Friday, you'll discover you did. If you have a comment or a question about our message this evening, please push your *6C on your telephone. That will unmute your phone. *6.
Hi, Vicki.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. No. Is there someone else talking? I wasn't sure.
No,
okay, this is
you.
Helen. Okay, I would like to go back to something Phil, one of you said, I think Phil. Anyway, it had to do with 1 John 2:27, and I've closed my Bible, and I will reread it again. But when did we receive the anointing? When we were born again?
Yes, when you got the Holy Spirit, you got... Actually, no. I take that back. That's not true. You got the anointing of the Holy Spirit at that time, but you were anointed by God from birth with your gifts, talents, and abilities.
Okay. All right, that's
so it
great.
Depends on,
one, oh.
Yeah. It depends on what kind of anointing you're looking at. You know, you're commissioned by God in the womb. So that anointing and the gifts that go with it, you already had those. And when you were reconnected with God through your born-again experience, then he could start to develop those for his purposes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One more quick thing. The words that you just shared just at the end there about, maybe it was more in the prayer, but even before that, about not looking back. Last weekend, the Lord showed me something very, very clearly, and I kind of thought it, but then you don't want to think it because you don't like it. but he said someone had been saying, you know, we are to seek the Lord. And when they said that, it was so clear to me, and I know that the principle in your ministry is to help us to come into our true identity, and that's very important. But what God was showing me, I had spent more time on trying to come into my identity, searching for my identity because of some really bad things, 100 years ago. And he said, you've spent more time on doing that than you have been seeking me. And he said, it's time that you believe what my word says about you. You
Amen.
Have already, you don't have to seek it anymore. And I just really was set free in a real big way. Because I'm always wanting to listen to teachings about the healing of the spirit or the healing of the soul. And I've been listening to them, you know, for 50 years now. But he said, stop. It's time to stop. And I thought that was really good, and you just gave a wonderful confirmation of that. So thank you very much, both
Amen.
Of you, for tonight. It was really good.
Amen. Hallelujah. And, yes, that is absolutely, and that was a word not just for you. That was a word for several people out there tonight, I'm sure. It doesn't matter about what went before. We have to get out of the inward and backward view. What's wrong with me? How did I get this way? And get into the upward and outward view. What's right with Jesus, and how do I express that? So thank you, Helen. Great. Great insight. Because that's who we are. We cannot know who we are until we know him. Who else has something to say tonight? *6.
Hi, it's Carrie.
Hey.
I wanted to say, first of all, thank you so much. I've never heard you so clear. I could hear every word Phil said. I could hear you both so clearly. I don't know what you've done, whether my ears are different, but that was amazing. Thank you. So,
praise God.
Praise God. Praise
God. I guess you got good weather and clear lines.
There's many things that happened in the last 5 days at the Curry Blake conference I went to. And one of the things I've just learned all these, I think I killed like 52 sacred cows. And he reminded me what sacred cows were. You know, really, he did. He said, you know how there are people from India who will walk along the road and barely be walking because they're starving. They'll be walking next to a cow, and they will starve to death before they kill that cow and eat it. And I went, oh, my gosh, that was pretty powerful. So the other thing that I recognized, well, one of the things he said right away was one word in Scripture, just listening, taking it apart, can change everything, can deliver you, can heal you. It's just so powerful. So when you read about the soul continually in your own hand, it was just very, very powerful. I didn't want to go one day, and I didn't know. I was so tired and this and that, all these excuses, and I wanted to go. My soul wanted to go. I had plans, but when I woke up, I had every excuse in the book not to. And what he had said the next day was, you have three voices. You hear from God, you hear from the enemy, or you hear from yourself. And then he made it so clear, because he said, when you hear from yourself, it's usually the one, the true voice from you usually is only about being hungry, being sleepy, being tired. I mean, it's like things that you need in the moment. It's these other thoughts that are profoundly not yours. So if you buy them, you're in big trouble. Hold thoughts captive. But then what the friend of mine said, he does so many teachings online, but he said there's a proclamation point where you just speak out who you are in Christ. And
amen.
I think, I've spoken those. But I'm telling you, I did 5 minutes, 7 minutes of speaking them out, and it's that spirit. It caused deliverance. I got up and I went. I went, what were you thinking? So thank you for all the reminders. The whole thing. Oh, I just can hardly wait to hear the rest. Thanks, Vicki. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, you're strengthening your inner man in the word and with affirmations of what God says about you. You are strengthening your inner man and coming into your true identity. Thank you, Carrie.
And isn't it the Christ in you? Isn't that who, I mean, isn't that our goal is to become who he's created us? I mean, he created us vessels to carry him.
To rise to the level of our intended creation. Yes, absolutely. And we, you know, when we get rid of all the stuff, ourself mostly, then you find that you have the same nature as God. You have the same characteristics. You are like Jesus. Anybody else before we say goodnight? I'm getting some feedback from somewhere.
Vicki?
Yeah, I muted.
Vicki?
I wanted to see if it was...
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
It's Teresa. I just wanted to say thank you to all of you all for the reminders, because I've been having a challenge with all of these things that you guys spoke about. And you're just confirming again that I'm not crazy, that I hear the Lord speaking to me, especially as it pertains to what he told me to do with the affirmations. You know, I am the righteousness of God. I am, you know, God's the apple of God's eye, different things that I had written down. And I just want to say I did enjoy it. I fought coming on here. I didn't want to, but I'm glad I did.
Amen.
And I thank all of you.
And I am so glad to. I have been concerned about you, and I try to call a couple of times. So I'll we will get together tomorrow afternoon if you have any time, please. And thank you for being on the line. God bless you. Who else has a comment or a question tonight? I am so delighted to have you on this line and that you are coming into your identity in Christ. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. May not look good, but he rights all the wrongs. He makes all things new. What the devil means for evil, he turns to good. We serve a faithful God. And quite often when we're going through some of the experiences that we do go through, I remind myself of Paul and the many, many things that, what did he say? I was shipwrecked 3 times. I was stoned ever how many times. I was given 40 stripes less one. I mean, just, it's kind of like, are you sure, you guys that want to call yourselves apostles, are you sure you're ready for what, for the trouble that the enemy will give you in the world? Hallelujah. But we have overcome. He causes us to triumph in Christ in all things. Thank you, God.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, brother and sister. Y'all are such a blessing to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank
I think I heard someone else.
It was just so good, your testimony.
Annette was trying to come in a little while ago. I didn't.
Okay. Are you out there, Annette? Hallelujah.
Good night. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia.
Mm-hmm. You, God bless.
Well, if there's no one else, I'm going to ask Pastor Phil to speak or sing the benediction over us and pray us into this wonderful week.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Well, because I know it's been going in and out. It's interesting that someone said that they had heard this message better than, clearer than any other message, and we're remote.
We're remote from each other.
We're doing it remotely, and not only that, I'm remote from that. So it's amazing it's coming through that clear. So maybe there's something to that. Hallelujah. Okay, well, thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for all the people and all their fine comments. I ask you to bless them abundantly. I ask you to encamp your angels around us as we go through this week. Give us a great week with successes, breakthroughs, miracles, signs and wonders, Lord, in your name with your anointing. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that we are in you, Father. And with your permission, my Father, I will bless your people as Aaron blessed the people of Israel in Numbers, the sixth chapter, with the Aaronic benediction. I will do it first in Hebrew and then in English. And so here we go. Yivarachach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you his shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your anointing in our lives. Lord, help us to recognize your presence, your purposes, and your ways in us, Lord, that we can be faithful stewards of your anointing and walk in all the power, all the benefits that you offer in your kingdom. Thank you for kingdom authority. I ask you to bless your people coming and going this week as they go about their ways. Speak to their hearts to use and walk in your anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Good night.
God bless Amen. You, one and all.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
We love you.
Love you more.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Yahoo.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
God be blessed.
Thank you very much. Good night.